37. Tariana. The air rushed from her chest, and all around her was white, white, endless white. And for a heartbeat, Tariana believed she was trapped in the Zenthyr's magic, trapped between two places, neither here nor there, bodiless. Then the cold hit her, piercing and bitter and cruel, her sweaty skin screaming under the onslaught.
Get up!
Marcus shouted, his hands under her arms, hauling her upright, dragging her backward through the rubble that had come through with them, away from the Zenthyr stem which jutted, glittering and black, from the snow.
Where are we?
Then, the tiger was in front of her, stumbling to keep its footing. It snarled, head swinging from side to side, its gaze fixed on her. Marcus shoved her behind him, blade in one hand. The animal's muscles bunched, and Tariana lifted her knife, fingers already numb from the cold. Her heart thundered in her chest, pulse roaring in her ears.
Run!
Her instincts screamed. Instead, Tariana bit down on her terror. Come and get us, you bastard. The tiger snarled, but rather than lunging at Marcus, it staggered, skin shifting and moving as though it were made of liquid, the snarl changing to a scream. A human scream. It was a god's damned shifter. The tiger's form solidified, but it swayed back and forth, disoriented.
Don't like the cold?
Marcus started forward, but Tariana caught hold of his arm. He's godmarked, she said, by Lern. He can change into any shape he wants. Except something wasn't right. The tiger took one step back, then another, before spinning around to paw at the Zenthyr tip. It batted at it with increasing violence until its body once again turned liquid, flowing in a way Tariana's eyes couldn't comprehend, as though she watched through a piece of glass that distorted everything. She blinked once, only to find a naked man where the tiger had stood. He struck the Zenthyr, screaming curses in a language she didn't know. Then he froze, sensing he was no longer the hunter. The shifter slowly turned, eyes landing on Marcus's blade, which was shaking, his hand reddened by the cold.
Gods, it was freezing.
What is this place?
The shifter demanded in accented Aranoquian.
Where have you brought me? What have you done to me?
Marcus laughed, and there was an edge to it that made Tariana stiffen, that made her look at him instead of the shifter.
Welcome to the East, you bloody bastard. Let's see how well you fight without your gods to swing the odds.
The shifter took a step backward. Then a howl split the air. All three of them froze. What was that? Tariana demanded, turning in a circle. But all around them was snow, a barren landscape of nothing.
Cybernese wolves.
There was fear in Marcus's voice.
They're nocturnal, but if they're hungry enough, they'll come before dusk.
And the sun was little more than a glow on the horizon. As though some of his Mark's instincts remained, the shifter turned, peering into the distance. Then he raised a hand and pointed. In the dying light, Tariana could make out motion. Something, many somethings, racing in their direction.
Run!
They struggled through the snow, feet breaking through the crust, which sent them tripping, and there was no escape. The land empty of anything but leafless brush. Howls filled her ears. Tariana stumbled and fell, and Marcus hauled her up, terror chasing away the burning sting of the cold.
There.
Her eyes tracked the direction Marcus pointed, where a small shack had appeared in the distance. The howls grew closer, and Tariana cast a backward glance over her shoulder. Racing toward her were wolves with fur as black as night, eyes glittering in the fading sun, wide paws ghosting across the snow, despite the creatures being bigger than any wolf she'd ever seen.
Keep running!
There was no chance of them outpacing the wolves, or at least not all three of them. The shifter was taller, his longer legs pulling him ahead.
I'm not dying so you can live, Marcus shouted,
then threw himself forward. His gladius sliced through the tendon above the man's heel, blood spraying across the snow. The shifter shrieked and fell, tried to rise, then fell again. Tariana slowed, but Marcus clambered to his feet and caught her arm.
His turn to be hunted. It will buy us time.
She staggered, the icy air burning her lungs, but the sight of the shifter crawling on hands and knees made her jerk out of Marcus's grip.
Tariana!
Ignoring him, she raced back to the man. May the six find your soul, she whispered, then sliced her knife across his throat.
Run!
She jerked upright, and a sob tore from her lips. The wolves were only 100 paces away and closing fast. Adrenaline fired through her veins, and she flung herself toward the shack. Over and over she fell, barely feeling the sharp pieces of snow scoring her bare hands as she regained her feet. She heard the pack fall upon the dying shifter, heard them tear into him with excited yelps and whines, heard the moment when they decided he wasn't going anywhere, but that their other prey was escaping.
We're almost there. We're almost there,
Marcus shouted, pushing her ahead of him. The wolves' paws made soft thuds against the snow as they continued their pursuit. The shack was 20 paces away. Pants from 6 muzzles filled the air. 10 paces. She felt them gaining on her. 5 paces. Felt their hot breath on her neck. She slammed against the door of the shack, jerking up the latch, the door swinging open. Marcus shoved her inside, sending her tumbling over whatever was hidden in the darkness. Twisting on her hands and knees, she watched him lean against the door right as the front runner lunged. It hit the door, driving it inward, Marcus scrambling to hold it in place. Tariana screamed as snapping teeth appeared in the gap, the animal's fur stained with the dead shifter's blood. Marcus smashed his fist against the wolf's nose, and it recoiled with a whine. The door slammed shut.
Get the beam!
Leaping to her feet, she fumbled in the dim light for the heavy plank. Heaving it up, she wedged it in the slot next to the hinge. But before she could get the other side in place, the wolf hit the door again, opening it a crack. Tariana's eyes locked with the wolf's, and it snarled, shoving its muzzle in the gap, teeth snapping. She recoiled as the door inched open enough for it to fit its whole head, and the beam fell against Marcus's shoulder. The wolf was enormous, its lips pulled back to reveal fangs, green eyes fixed on her.
Hit it, Marcus shouted. If it gets in, we're dead.
Fight.
Balling her fist, Tariana swung hard, catching the animal straight in the nose, her hand scraping along its teeth. It yelped, but didn't draw back. Marcus's feet slid in the dirt, the door inching open, the shack shuddering as the pack attacked from all sides.
Kill it!
She'd lost her knife, but beneath the animal's legs was Marcus's gladius. Taking a deep breath, Tariana lunged downwards, reaching for the hilt. The wolf moved with her, only Marcus's weight against the door keeping it from biting the back of her neck. Its paw struck her, clawing along her arm, but then her numb fingers caught hold of the weapon. Falling backward, she tightened her grip and then slammed the tip of the blade into the animal's chest. It squealed and scrambled back. taking the gladius with it, and the door slammed shut. Marcus heaved the beam into place.
There's another one somewhere. Here.
Lifting the beam, he fit it into the brackets, then fell to his knees next to her. Blood ran warm down her frozen skin where the wolf had clawed her, and she flinched as the animals continued to attack the shack, the wood shuddering with each blow. Can they get in?
No,
he said, but didn't sound convinced.
They're built for this, but we're going to freeze to death if we don't get a fire started.
He was right. With her adrenaline fading, the cold was sinking into her bones, the pain worse than the injury to her arm. And Marcus was wearing a fraction of the clothing she was, his arms and legs bare, feet exposed to the deadly chill. He moved away from her, fumbling around in the dark.
Stove is here.
His teeth were chattering loud enough for her to hear over the wolves. Hers were, too. Her whole body quivered violently, and she shoved her hands into her armpits in a desperate attempt to warm them. Steel struck against flint, sparks flying.
Come on!
More sparks flew, landing on the kindling in the stove, but it didn't take.
Light, damn you!
He struck the flint again, but the knife knocked it from his hands.
Piece of shit!
He screamed at it. Tariana dropped to her knees next to him, jerking the blade from his hand and fumbling in the dark until she found the flint. She smashed the two together, over and over, sparks flying. One landed on the dry bit of grass, and a flame took.
Thank the gods,
she whispered. Though the six wouldn't have anything to do with it, not in this place. And even if they could help, she doubted they were of a mind to do her any favors. Blowing gently on the flame with shaky breath, she coaxed the fire to life, holding her hands up to the faint heat. She was so cold, colder than she'd ever been in her life. Marcus was on the ground next to her, curled in on himself, eyes shut. He wasn't shivering anymore, but his arm was ice cold when she touched him, and her heart skittered in her chest. He'd die if she didn't get him warm. Placing slivers of wood over the burning grass, she scanned the small space, eyes lighting on a shelf holding a stack of blankets. Scrambling to her feet, she pulled them down, dust flying everywhere as she tucked two around him and the last over her own shoulders.
Hang on,
she whispered, feeding more wood to the flame until the fire was roaring. Climbing under the blankets, she curled around his body as tears trickled down her cheeks. He started to shake again, teeth clattering, but it was only when he muttered,
"Open the flue,"
that her chest relaxed and she sat up, tucking the blankets around him. She used a stick to open the flue, the smoke rising up the chimney pipe rather than continuing to cloud the shack. He needed something warm to drink. But while the shelves were stocked with various supplies, including a kettle and two cups, water was not one of them. What she needed was snow to melt, but that meant going outside. The wolves had either given up or been driven back by the fire, but over the crackle of burning wood, she could hear the faint whining of the animal she'd injured. Except there wasn't a chance of her opening that door until sunrise. Then, her eyes latched on what appeared to be a tiny door at the base of one of the walls, less than 6 inches square. Dropping to her hands and knees, she unlatched it, revealing snow had banked against the wall of the shack.
God's damned cell, she muttered. You think of everything.
She filled the kettle with snow and hung it next to the fire to melt, eyes going to Marcus as he stirred, slowly pushing himself upright.
She shook her head as he stood and pushed him down onto the narrow cot. And I didn't save your ass, only to have you fall into a stove, so sit still. Lifting the kettle, she poured warm water into the cups and handed him one, then drank deeply from her own. Marcus only stared at his, unblinking. Finally, he said,
"Freezing would have been the easier way to go."
"What?" she demanded. "Clearly, you need to lie back down if you're spouting nonsense like that."
"It's not nonsense, Tariana."
His hands balled into fists, and he rose unsteady on his feet.
"We're in the middle of bloody Cyburn, in winter, with no supplies, the wrong sort of weapons, and on the opposite side of Wreath from where we are supposed to be."
He threw his cup against the wall, water splattering everywhere.
"We should have just laid down for the wolves, because now we get to slowly starve to death while we lose our minds in a shack in the middle of nowhere."
Tariana glared at the fallen cup, the side now dented inward. Then she turned to fix her glare on him. "I've noticed that you do this from time to time, Marcus, and I can't say that I like it."
"What's this?" he retorted. "Present you with facts?"
"This is losing your head. And it's not when things get ugly or complicated or hard, but when you aren't in control." Picking up the cup, she refilled it and shoved it back into his hands. "You can't stand it when the world isn't marching to the beat of your drums. Now drink." He scowled and didn't move.
"Are you finished dissecting my character flaws?"
Giving him a wide smile, because the alternative was to slap him upside the head, she said, "I don't know. Are you finished with your little tantrum?" They stared each other down, and Tariana felt no small amount of satisfaction when Marcus looked away first, drinking from his cup. "Between the two of us, we have a few skills," she continued. "Surely we can figure a way through this."
"We're at least 1,000 miles from the coast."
His voice was acidic.
"And of all the men in the 37th you could have landed here with, I have the least practical experience in survival. Possession of skills is irrelevant if said skills are wrong for the task."
Closing her eyes, Tariana took a deep breath, wishing that her cup were filled with rum and not melted snow. "Marcus, if you don't start being more helpful, I'm going to toss you outside to die with that awful wolf." He crossed his arms, fixing her with a stubborn glare. "For starts, how do you know we're that far from the coast? How do you know where we are at all?"
"There's a map on the wall behind you."
Tariana's cheeks warmed, and she turned, eyeing the framed map nailed to the wall. Taking one of the candles from the supply shelves, she lit it at the stove, then held it up so she could see the lines. At the top right corner of the map was written the number 203. Marcus came up behind her.
"We're on the Via Hibernus."
He pointed to a line crossing the expanse of the enormous province.
"It's the longest road in the Empire. And we are apparently in shelter number 203, which is here."
He moved his finger to a small red dot, which was far closer to the middle of the map than she'd hoped. A faint flutter of panic settled in her stomach, and because she knew it would be worse if she didn't persevere, she asked, "There's an actual road beneath the snow?" Marcus shook his head.
"There's mile marker posts driven into the ground so that travelers can stay on route. Though, even with them, if the visibility is bad, it's easy to lose your way."
"Right." It was late in the year, which meant winter was nearly upon the province. More snow seemed inevitable. "And there's more of these shelters?"
"By necessity. The wolves make it impossible for those traveling in small groups or as individuals to be outside after dark. They're maintained and restocked annually by whatever legion gets stuck with the task. It's shitty work.
Shitty work or not, his words eased her panic. If all the shelters were stocked like this one, they could move between them, living off the supplies, making clothes out of the blankets. They'd be hungry, but it was doable. How far apart are they?
20 miles.
Tiriana bit her lip. A long walk, especially in the snow. But they were both fit.
On good terrain, it's reasonable for a messenger to travel 3 to 4 miles an hour,
Marcus continued.
In the height of summer, there are 18 daylight hours for travel. But at this time of year?
He paused, then shook his head.
In the depths of winter, there is daylight for less than 6 hours. Right now, I'd estimate we have about 8 hours to travel 20 miles in snow without snowshoes, with little to no food, and with less light each passing day.
Her knees quivered as his words sank in. They were going to die out here.